Hello, seafood friends. You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. Inflation is making waves at the grocery store, and seafood shoppers are definitely feeling it. New June retail data from 210 Analytics shows total food and beverage dollar sales were up 1.4%, but people actually bought 1.1% fewer items overall. Amory Roering, president of 210 Analytics, says consumers across every income level are pulling back, with lower income shoppers tightening their budgets the most. That trend showed up in seafood too, but one species keeps swimming against the current.
Salmon.
Always salmon.
That's right. Fresh seafood sales remains the largest segment in dollar sales, generating $695 million in June. And salmon made up a pretty big chunk of that number. Sales climbed 4.5% year on year to nearly $339 million. And even pounds sold increased about 1.8%. Now, pivot to frozen. Seafood sales in that category in June totaled $667 million, which is a 6% increase year on year, but a 5.3% decrease in pounds sold. Now, salmon does not hold the number one spot in this temperature zone. That honor belongs to shrimp, which had close to $328 million in sales last month. And that figure is a nearly 7% increase in dollar sales year on year, but an 8.2% decrease in pounds sold. Frozen salmon, on the other hand, continue to see gains in both dollar sales and pounds sold. Frozen salmon sales totaled $95.4 million. That's up 12.5% from June 2025 and a 5.6% increase in pounds sold year on year. And then in the shelf-stable space, ambient salmon was no slouch either. So shelf-stable seafood sales totaled $300 million, of which tuna held the top spot, of course. But ambient salmon pulled in $26.4 million in sales in June. That's a 15.6% year-on-year increase in dollar sales and a 7.1% increase in units sold.
Sticking with salmon, the supply of Alaska's wild salmon could be tighter in 2026 based on this year's harvest, which is continuing to trail last year's catch and the volumes now forecast by U.S. fishery managers. McKinley Research reports that as of July 11th, 25.2 million sockeye have been harvested around the state since the season started May 22nd, 35% lower year-on-year than the 39 million sockeye harvested during the same period in 2025, and 56% of the nearly 50 million red salmon predicted in the annual forecast. As Undercurrent reported, the largest fisheries in Bristol Bay have struggled with overescapement in some areas due to regulatory requirements that fishery managers constrain efforts to conserve Chinook salmon.
But some good news here, the rate being paid to the Bristol Bay fleet has adjusted higher. UCN's Jacob Resnick reported this week that Seattle-based salmon processing giant Silver Bay Seafoods has positioned itself as a price leader, increasing the rate paid to the Bristol Bay fleet from $1.60 a pound to $2 a pound. Check out the link in the show notes to read more about what's going on in Alaska's wild salmon fishery.
And finally, for some insight into the U.S. wholesale market for Atlantic salmon, this week is really becoming a story of three very different origins. So let's start with Chile, where the market continues to show surprising resilience. We did see a little more movement this week, but it wasn't across the board. So smaller fillets slipped about 5 cents a pound, as those remain the most available sizes, but larger 4 to 5 pound fillets actually moved 5 cents higher. A mid-July holiday reduced production this week, fish meal costs continue to climb, and demand from export markets is giving Chilean suppliers confidence to hold the line on pricing this week. Meanwhile, Norway continues to move in the opposite direction. U.S. wholesale prices softened again this week. Buyers have more options than they've had in months. Replacement costs continue to fall, and sellers are becoming increasingly flexible. The important thing here is that we still don't see a clear bottom. Norwegian production remains strong, and supplies are comfortable. And finally, moving along to Canada. Canada remains a market driven entirely by size, where smaller fish continue to hold their values because the supplies are tight there, but larger fish have softened again this week as West Coast harvests continue winding down. Buyers also have increasingly attractive Norwegian alternatives, making it harder for Canadian sellers to defend pricing on heavier fish. That said, this could be relatively short-term dynamic. West Coast production is approaching its seasonal pause before returning early next year, which should tighten forward supply once current inventories work through the system. So Chile is still proving resilient. Norway remains under pressure as lower replacement costs work through the market. And Canada continues to be a tale of two markets supported on smaller fish, but easing on larger sizes as the current harvest wraps up.
All right, enough about salmon. Let's talk about what's going on in Europe with the possible or possibly not sanctions on Russia.
Snip, snap, snip, snap. So I'm surprised you want to talk about this because who knows what will happen by the time we release this episode on Friday.
Oh, a good point. I've gone back and forth on this, but such a big topic to hit the industry right now. And at this moment, we do know, though, that EU ambassadors will reconvene on July 22nd next week to discuss the 21st Russian sanctions package. But at this moment right now, it looks like fisheries are excluded from it. So UCN reported this week that headed and gutted, you know, H&G Russian pollock prices started to edge up again in week 29, which is July 13th through the 19th, amid reports of fish being excluded. And one Russian seller told Undercurrent that the Chinese market is not afraid to buy anymore.
While there's demand for H&G pollock, that's not the case for cod. One source said that they hit the ceiling on price before the sanctions, and that on top of that, consumption is not great.
But as Lauren pointed out, it's a fluid situation. So basically, what I really wanted to do is direct you, our dear listener, to the Undercurrent website to find out the latest details on what's going on with the 21st sanctions package. And another thing you'll want to keep an eye on, UCN4, the latest on the upcoming solicitation from the U.S. Department of Agriculture for U.S. wild-caught peeled and deveined shrimp. So the USDA recently took to social media to share that U.S. wild-caught shrimp will be available on the foods available list for the Emergency Food Assistance Program. It was previously on the government's list of seafood to be served in those programs, but was removed for fiscal year 2026. USDA says that deliveries under the program could begin as early as January 2027.
Current seafood options available through the assistance program include Alaska pollock fillets and breaded sticks, Atlantic haddock and pollock fillets, farm-raised and wild-caught catfish, and canned pink salmon.
The usual suspects.
Exactly. And the U.S. domestic shrimp industry has been quick to celebrate, as USDA suggested, being added back to the list. Blake Price, the executive director of the Southern Shrimp Alliance, a trade organization representing shrimp harvesters, processors, and related businesses in eight shrimp-producing states, said that adding U.S. wild-caught shrimp to the program is a win-win, enabling taxpayer dollars to be reinvested in sustainable American mom-and-pop shrimping businesses while providing a nutritious, clean protein to those in need.
Bravo. That seriously is a win-win. And Gulf shrimp is yum, so. But no, it's not yum, Lauren. Listeria and Salmonella.
And Cyclospora, aka the explosive diarrhea parasite. Let us know if you have had that on your bingo card for 2026, because we sure didn't.
No, we did not. But seafood does have to watch something else that's going on. There's new legislation advancing that would allow the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to destroy imported seafood and other products deemed a significant public health risk. And I would just like to go back in time now and have this implemented so that I no longer have to live in fear of eating my leafy greens. But in all seriousness, the Destruction of Hazardous Imports Act has been placed on the U.S. House suspension calendar for this upcoming week, the week of July 20th. And a broader Senate food safety package containing many of the same provisions is scheduled for markup by the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions on July 22nd.
The legislation will close that supporters like the Southern Shrimp Alliance describe as a long-standing loophole in U.S. food safety laws by allowing the FDA to order the destruction of imported food products that pose a significant public health risk. Under current law, importers can instead re-export products refused entry by the FDA, creating the possibility that those shipments could later be routed back to the United States through another port in a practice commonly referred to as port shopping. The bill, introduced by U.S. Representative Clay Higgins, a Louisiana Republican, cleared the House Committee on Energy and Commerce in May in a unanimous 43-0 vote. It now has bipartisan backing and has been placed on the House suspension calendar, an expedited process generally reserved for broadly supported, non-controversial legislation. So we'll possibly see an update there for you next week.
And now on to some happier news and to some more shrimp news. This one, bound to make your mouth water. Have you seen these new frozen shrimp nuggets from Just Shrimp that launched in Harris Teeter grocery stores this month?
I have, and I'm upset that we don't have a Harris Teeter near us.
Agreed, because these look and sound delicious. 100% shrimp in every bite. They contain no artificial colors, flavors, fillers, preservatives. But what caught my attention first was actually how the North Carolina-based company is talking about where their shrimp comes from.
Consumers do seem to be asking more questions about where their seafood comes from.
Exactly. And they're calling it, Just Shrimp is calling it, Home Coast Shrimp. Founder Lee Edmondson told Undercurrent the phrase was created to give consumers an easier way to understand the company's sourcing strategy. So Just Shrimp sources all of its farm-raised Pacific white shrimp from Mexico's Pacific coast, specifically the Mazatlan region. Edmondson said that they've built the supply chain to shorten the time between harvest and production with the goal of preserving quality while giving shoppers a clearer idea of where the shrimp originated. And he's got experience working with quick service giants like McDonald's and Burger King. So I think it's safe to say that he knows his nuggets. And in fact, he said the nugget format was intentionally selected to make seafood more approachable for consumers. He said pairing the nugget format with home coast shrimp and simple recognizable ingredients produced a retail product that felt both familiar and new. Now, I don't eat chicken anymore, but I still do enjoy a nugget. I go for Morningstar now. I like their fake spicy chicken. But I am open and interested in trying a shrimp nugget, and I bet my kids would try it in that format too, even though they're not like big on shrimp.
I mean, I love popcorn shrimp, so I feel like I would thoroughly enjoy these. The shrimp nuggets come in 12-ounce bags with a suggested retail price of $11.99. So if you've got a Harris Teeter by you, you should check it out. And in other cool new product news, Maury's Fine Fish and Seafood is rolling out frozen seafood variety packs. There's the fish variety pack, which features two fillets per flavor, and the flavors include Atlantic Salmon Steakhouse, Wild Alaskan Flounder Garlic and Herb, and Tilapia Blackened. Then they've also got a shrimp variety pack, which comes with two servings of each, three flavors, Teriyaki, Garlic and Herb, and Citrus Mango. And these are all Sam's Club's exclusives. So yet another product to have FOMO over, Amanda, since we don't have one of those stores by us either.
I know. Come on, folks. I'm going to have to like provide a list of stores we're working with. We got a ShopRite. We got a Target, BJ's, Costco. Come on, help us help some fish fanatics out. But in all seriousness, I don't think there's anything on the market like that right now. But there's always a bag of breaded shrimp in my freezer because it's like quick and an easy salad topper or appetizer. All three of those flavors sound good, and it's nice to have an option. So like, you know, if we're ever blessed with Sam's Club, I would probably throw that in my cart. But for the fish variety pack, I'm like on the fence about that one. I think it's cool that they mix farmed and wild product. The salmon, fine. I was just telling Jason last episode that I don't usually cook salmon at home, but Maury's kind of like set you up for success when it's like pre-marinated and ready to cook. They kind of, you know, make it difficult for you to mess that one up. I love Alaska flounder, so that's fine. But it's the tilapia that has me like on the fence here. I don't normally buy tilapia. So like on the one hand, if this was on sale, like maybe I would throw it in the cart just to like give it a try just because I like the other ones. I'm like, okay, so maybe I would try something and like it.
Especially since it's a value. It's marinated and it's got the flavoring. You know, I know a lot of people have strong opinions on tilapia, but I think, you know, I'd be open to it, especially if it was in this variety pack and already prepped up for you.
I know, but I feel like that is like a thing with variety packs. Like, don't you always get one flavor?
Right. There's always one that you're like, oh, fine.
I know we have like chips, you know, we're going to camp all throughout the summer. So it's just easier to throw in the, you know, the little bag of chips instead of like making it up in the morning. But they want a variety pack, but now we're down to like, I forget like what flavor it is. It's like sour cream and onion. I don't like it. And the kids don't like it. And now we're just stuck with like all these bags of sour cream and onion chips.
I'll take them. There you go.
Okay, well then there we go. There we go. Well, that does it for us this week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week.
Bye-bye.